11 o'clock at the Saturday Light Brigade. And it's a pleasure to have Christine Wolf here, who was the person that encouraged us to do this feature. It didn't take a lot of convincing. I was so happy when she wrote. Christine, tell me a little bit about the Young Writers Institute and your passion for writing and how you got involved with this.
Sure. I'm a teacher at Pittsburgh Public Schools, and I'm a writer, and I went to the University of Pittsburgh to a graduate class that encouraged teachers who teach children to write themselves. And I found out that writing is challenging and fun and scary and wonderful, and I love to write. So most summers I try to teach in the Young Writers Institute, where we take students from public schools, private schools, Catholic schools, any kind of schools who think they love to write, and encourage them and give them little tips about craft. That's basically how it started. I think it's been running at the University of Pittsburgh since about 1988 or so. Guess. It's a guess.
And at what school are you teaching?
I was at Belmore Elementary in Homewood. I was the reading specialist there. Now I'm a part-timer, so I do demonstration teaching. I'm in Avonworth in kindergarten right now, and I teach at Carlow University, so I kind of swing the gamut.
And what do you think gave you your passion for writing? Did that go back to your childhood?
Yeah, a little bit. I was talking with Tyler, who's here today. I entered a contest in a children's magazine, and I can't even remember what the magazine was, and I wrote a poem about books, and it didn't win, but it was exciting to write and exciting to enter the contest, and I like going out in the winter and looking at frozen ice on the apple tree and writing about that. You know, sometimes you just look at something and it's weird and different than it was yesterday, and you want to write about it. I don't know.
Well, it's true. Do you write every day now, or most days?
I try to. I keep a journal. I write poetry. I get up in the middle of the night and jump out of bed, and my husband thinks, what is she doing?
Well, thank you for, arranging this. It was great to have last week's students. Cole, why don't we start with you? How old are you, and where do you go to school?
I'm 8, and I go to the Environmental Charter School in near Frick Park.
How do you like that school? That's a new school, relatively new.
Yeah.
Do you like it?
I like it a lot. It's really fun.
Great. What are some of the things you're doing now there? Are any special projects related to winter?
No.
No, I know you've probably been off school for a couple weeks, too, over the last 2 weeks. But I know some of your teachers over there, and it's a pretty neat place to go to school. Would you like to say hello to anybody who might be listening?
My dad. So, hi, Dad.
What do you like about writing, Cole?
I like that you get to write what you feel, and you get to write about a lot of things.
Is it hard?
Sometimes.
What is hard about it?
Thinking of ideas and the name of the story and stuff.
I never thought about that. How do you come up with a name?
I sort of think of what the main subject is about our story.
That sounds like a good way to do it. After you finish something and you really like what you wrote, how does it make you feel, and what do you do?
It feels really good, and I show all my family members, and usually they ask to read it, so I get sort of nervous when people read it.
Oh, I would be nervous, too, if somebody was reading it, I think. And then do you get feedback from them and ideas? Mm-hmm. That's great. Well, you brought something to read. Do you need to tell us anything about it before you read it?
It's about my trip to Puerto Rico this summer.
Okay.
Well, this Christmas.
And this is Cole Modell, mm-hmm. and he's in third grade at the Frick Environmental Charter School. And Cole, just go ahead and start whenever you're ready.
Every summer, I go with my friends or my friends and family to Puerto Rico. When we go, we play with our friends on the beach. We play with frisbees and bury people in the sand. This year in Puerto Rico, I spent Christmas there. That night, we played with sparklers. The next morning, we opened presents. I got a new boogie board because my old one broke. The next morning, we went to Old San Juan and got Puerto Rican meals and had a great time.
That was great. Some of the things I really liked about that, when you talked about the food and the boogie board, some other things too, but it made me feel like I was there, which is nice. Did you like going to Puerto Rico?
Yeah, we usually go every Christmas or summer.
That's nice. Do you have family members there?
Yeah.
Oh, it must be nice to do that kind of visit. Do you think you'll continue to write throughout most of your life? Do you like it that much?
Yeah.
Well, that's terrific. Anything else you'd like to say, Cole?
No.
Okay, well, if you think of something, we'll have another chance, too. Why don't we next go to Tyler Madden, who is in eighth grade. Are you ready, Tyler? Oh, we can get you ready. Tyler, you should have seen the look on Tyler's face when I said, let's go to Tyler. It was a good look, I think. Tyler, where do you go to school?
I go to Linton Middle School.
And that's in Point Barrie. Well, wait a minute. Linton, it is East End, right?
I actually have no idea.
Where is Linton?
I'm terrible with directions.
Well, what community do you live in?
I live in Verona, PA.
Okay, Linton's in Penn Hills.
Yeah,
Now I know where it is. It's right near the high school.
Yeah.
It took me for a minute. At first, I thought you said Linden, but it's Linton. I know just where that is, out near Verona. And tell me a little bit about you and writing. When did you discover that you really liked doing it?
I've been writing for a really long time, probably since I was like 5 years old, of course.
Wow.
My family does not know I've been writing since I was 5 years old, because when I was like that young, I did not want anyone to see my work. I like hid it from them. I had a shoebox under my bed, and that's where I stuffed all my stuff and shoved it under my bed. Taped a sign on it that said, do not open.
Is that stuff still around?
No, probably not. I'm pretty sure I accidentally threw it away a long time ago.
Do you remember what you wrote about when you were five? And you don't have to tell me if you don't want to, but I'm just curious if you even remember, let alone what it was.
When I was five, I probably wrote, like, you know, classic little kid stories, my adventure with my new puppy, or, you know, what I found under the couch today.
What kinds of things do you like to write about these days?
Well, I love to write about, you know, like your classic adventure stories, you know, good warring against evil and mm-hmm. that stuff.
Good wins, I hope?
Yes.
Oh, good. It's good to have more good winning. And when do you find time to write?
I write as much as I can. I've actually gotten in trouble at school a couple times for jotting down little notes, like on the side of my notebooks. Teachers come over, what are you doing, Tyler? Nothing. Taking notes.
Ricky, my wife tells a story about being in school, and it wasn't until maybe the third grade that she finally realized that one of the concepts was everybody was supposed to be doing the same thing at the same time, and she'd be working on art when, you know, they were teaching math and doing something very elaborate and very, you know, academically perfect, and then would be yelled at because she was supposed to be doing math. And, you know, here you are, you know, trying to do writing. It's I'm not sure if we'll ever find a way to make that all work. But have you thought about what you might want to be when you get older?
Actually, I do want to be a writer when I grow up. I want to, like, specifically, I want to write books. I also thought about, you know, being a teacher while I'm a writer, because, you know, like, then I have something to fall back on if maybe that doesn't work out, like a backup plan, you know.
You must have had some good teachers, I would imagine.
Yes.
anybody in particular inspire you or make you want to?
My language arts teacher, actually, I think, I'm sorry, I cannot remember what grade I had her. I think it was only like 2 years ago, sixth grade. No, it was seventh grade. I had my language arts teacher, Miss Ballin. She was definitely my inspiration for writing. She was a wonderful teacher in that area. She like let us do creative writing in class, and she just really cared like about what we learned.
Oh, that's great. And what is the story you're going to read?
The story I'm going to read is called Pompeii. I got the idea while watching the History Channel. They did like a documentary on Pompeii and like, oh, look at all the stuff we found in Pompeii, this broken pottery. And I was like, hey, I'm going to write a story from the view of someone that was in Pompeii and then jump to the future from a view of an archaeologist.
Here's Tyler Madden with her... Is this an excerpt or the whole story?
It's just like a little short story.
Okay, so here it is, the story called Pompeii.
Pompeii. The ground rumbled beneath her feet. The girl looked to the great mountain above her. It slowly leaked a black smog forth onto the land. They say the great titan Prometheus lay in the mountain. Others say the mother of monsters lay within, spewing her anger out through the mountain's maw. Even so, no such eruption had ever happened in her maze of a home. The air grew thick with smoke, her eyes burning and weary. She ran as red-hot rocks rained down from the heavens. People she had lived with all her life lay among her, choking or struck by the rocks. Her blonde hair scorched black, and her toga nearing the point, she beat upon the doors and screamed for help. It was hopeless. She turned and saw it, the cloud, dark as Hades itself, swept over the town, scorching, now incinerating everything in its wake. She went to the open-air pavilion and sat next to a once-white pillar. There was nothing now but to await her fate. The ash burned her skin and her eyes, and as if it had materialized, the clouds swept over her. No pain, no nothing, just darkness. I think we've got one. The man, an archaeologist, poured a quick dry plastic mold into the cavity. Soon they dug around the mold until they uncovered their find. We've got another one, a girl, 13, preserved by the ash, died in fetal position. He marked down each detail. Amazing, said his redhead partner. I wonder what she was thinking when she died.
Very good. What was your experience like in the Young Writers Institute?
I think it was really great. It definitely helped me, you know, gave me some new ideas that I never really thought of doing before.
Well, I'm glad, and you're very talented. Anything else you'd like to say?
No, I'm pretty sure I'm good.
Okay, well, as I said with Cole, if you think of something else, we'll make sure we catch things at the end. Now, I think we'll come to Anne last. And well, I'm just sort of mixing us all up a little bit. So we'll go to Marguerite next. Marguerite McCrory is in seventh grade. And where do you go to school?
I go to Bishop Leonard St. Mary the Mount Academy. It's down at Washington.
Terrific. And do you want to say hello to anybody?
Say hello to my mom and my dad and my my grandma.
Great. Tell me about you and writing. You probably, it must be great to meet a lot of people that also love writing. I'll bet that's one of the best parts of the Young Writers Institute.
Yeah, it is. I just love to write. It's so much fun, I think. And I started writing when I was in third grade. We had to put a little penguin together. We had to write a short story about their life. And I think my story was the longest by far. It was like three chapters.
Wow.
It was really long.
Did you illustrate it, too?
No, actually, I'm a horrible artist.
I am, too. I
love to write, but I'm not good at drawing.
Yeah, I can't, and I, maybe someday, but I've never been able to draw very well, even when I was little. I don't think I could draw too well. Have you thought about what you might like to be when you get older?
Well, I love to write, so obviously I would love to be a writer. But I also like to cook, so I would also like to be a chef or an owner of a restaurant or something like that.
Cool. What do you love so much about writing? Can you put it into words?
I don't know. It's a way to express your feelings instead of just talking. You can jot it down and you can make it beautiful.
Do you ever find that you start to write something and you feel differently when you're done writing?
Yeah, I was writing a piece on like inspiration, and I thought, oh my gosh, this is horrible. It's not a good poem. It's just horrible. But then when I finally just kind of wrote it down and I got it edited and everything, it looked really good, and felt good.
I think that's true about a lot of things in life, too. Not to say that that's less special, what you're saying. It's good that you've observed that. But I know some things I'll do on the air, I think, are pretty, you know, not my best at the time. And then a couple weeks later, I'll listen back and I'll say, oh, that was better than I thought it was. Or you'll plant a garden and you don't think you did a very good job, and then you look at it a little later. It's hard. I think most people are their worst critics when it gets down to it. What are you going to read?
Well, actually, I was going to read a piece from my play, but instead I'm going to read this called Cape Cod Mystery. It's about two twins and their parents getting killed, actually.
Oh, my. So we've been to Puerto Rico and Pompeii, and now we're going to go to Cape Cod. Well, here now the writing of Marguerite McCrory.
Cape Cod Mystery. Of course she's the killer, the one with the pink toenails and stuffed animals, said Cammy. She has to be, said Carter. She's the only one left. This begins the unusual tale of two twins trying to solve the mystery of their dead parents. It all began on a sunny summer day in Cape Cod. Cammy and Carter were walking on the beach when they got some alarming news from the police. Your parents are dead, the police reported. They rushed to the scene of the crime to find, sure enough, two dead, lifeless bodies sprawled on the ground. Cammy and Carter were in shock. It can't be, said Cammy. They were fine when we left. What happened? Asked Carter, almost in tears. Do you have any relatives that live nearby? Asked the police. The twins immediately thought of one person. Our Aunt Abby. She's our mother's sister. She lives at 1195 Cape Cod Drive. The police drove the twins to their aunt's house. What happened? Asked their aunt. Cammy and Carter's parents have been killed, the police stated. How did this happen? Asked Aunt Abby. We can't release that information, said the police. Why not? We're their children, said Cammy, almost screaming. Calm down, the police officer said. I will not calm down. My parents are dead, and the police won't tell us what happened. Hold on, I gotta go to the next page. From that moment, Cammy decided to find out what had happened to their parents. Cameron and Carter must live with you from now on, said the police. You two, the policeman turned to face them. Gather up your things and get packing. The moving truck is coming next week. With that, the police were gone. Aunt Abby came to live with them for the next week while they got their stuff packed. What will happen to our house, wondered Carter. After they were settled into their new home with their aunt, things got back to normal. Well, not really.
Nice. You know, one of the things, I really like the first line.
Thanks. Actually, we had to, I took the Summer Young Ladies workshop, and so we had to think of a first line of a story, so that's kind of where I got that.
Very good. Anything else you'd like to say?
I don't think so.
Oh, great. Did a great job.
Oh, actually, I think I do want to say something. Well, I just think I wanted to say that I have, I started writing my school newspaper, and I'm the editor of it, and we were in Florida at the time, and I said to my mom, I'm sad, we don't have a school newspaper. She said, why don't you start one? And said, I will. And so then I went to my principal when school started, and I just kind of did that. So now I'm the editor of my school newspaper.
Good for you.
Thank you.
That's, you know, I'm reading a book right now that talks about how everything is future, you know. Everything is future, and you have to make that happen, and you did it. Yeah. And the school will probably have a newspaper for a long time because of you. Now, next, and finally, we're going to meet Jen. Ann Jen, how old are you?
9 years old.
And what school do you go to?
I go to Washington School, Mount Lemon District.
I've been to your school. It's a great school. And do you want to say hello to anybody who might be listening?
Not really.
Well, that's okay.
I don't think so.
Who's in your family?
My mom, my dad, and my sister.
How old is your sister?
18.
And what's her name?
Kelly Jean.
And, what have you thought about this program? What did you learn as you went through it?
I think I learned that...
Did it help you become a better writer, do you think?
I listened to other people's ideas, and then I formed my great style of writing.
Good. Getting ways to be able to improve your style is important to get, you know, some coaching from people right around you. What's the name of what you wrote?
The Pig in the Street Scene.
I can't wait to hear it. So it's called The Pig and the Street Scene. And Christine?
I just wanted to give a little background on this piece of Anne's. Our first session on January 30th, before all the blizzards, we had a teacher from West Allegheny System come in and teach the kids about what we call ekphrastic writing. You look at a great piece of art, and she brought one by Monet, and the other one was a Havana Dancers. And then you look at it, and she asked all kinds of interesting questions. And from that, the students wrote a number of different pieces, and Anne's is one from that, looking at the art.
Here is Anne Chen.
Streaking through the sea of confusion, I stumbled upon the group of humans again. They were dancing, whatever that was. The music shattered my sensitive eardrums and made me dizzy. I caught a vague scent of food after a few seconds of torture. Dazed but excited, I charged through the crowd and splattered anyone near me with fresh mud. I finally saw the hot, spicy Mexican food beautifully arranged on a table. I sighed. This food wasn't for me, but for that spoiled idiot pig Skippy. But a man smacked me across the snout with a switch before I could get to a crumb. That's Skippy, I thought, as I recovered from the pain. Just because she won first prize in the fair doesn't mean she sends other pigs to get food for her. I'll get her and her food today. I raced to the barn where Skippy was lying there sun tanning. I pounced on her and she shrieked. Within moments, she had fainted. I grinned as I retrieved her food and passed it out to everyone in the barn. Corn to the horse, oatcakes to the cows, sugar to the sheep, slivers of carrots to the geese, two apples to Olivia the pig, and five giant potatoes for me. After my meal, I scooted a few crumbs to where Skippy lay. Then I laughed myself to sleep looking at her pathetic state.
That's beautiful. It took me a while. It took me a while to realize that you're a pig. It took me a minute, or a few seconds. That's really well done. Does anybody have anything they'd like to add while we have a couple more minutes? Anybody forget to say anything or wish they had said something? And I'm going to turn it back to Christine.
I wanted to ask Marguerite, what all is in your school newspaper?
We do a bunch of different things. We kind of just let kids, instead of assigning them to a section and making them do something for that section each month, we kind of let them move around and do whatever they want. So it's usually an advice column and a fashion column, and we always have a poetry section, and we do a lot of stuff. And we're going to have, for this month's paper that will come out next Thursday, we're going to have a poetry contest and a photography contest. And so that's we're getting excited for that.
I have a question about that. How do you distribute the paper?
I do it, everybody hands me the articles, and then I do it all on the publisher, on the computer, which is helpful. I got my own netbook for Christmas. So, but then my dad, he has his own CPA firm, so he prints it all out for us, and he prints it into newspaper form. And then my mom and I always, we fold it, and then the next day we sell it for either a quarter or 50 cents. And it usually has pretty good sales.
Well, that's terrific. I'm really happy to hear about that. And Cole, you wanted to add something?
Well, I have a question about the newspaper. How many people write, or are there just a couple people, or is it a bunch of kids from your school writing?
Well, actually, we kind of, for the first 2 or 3 months, we opened it just to my class, the seventh graders. But then for next year, we had some of the sixth graders come, so we opened it to them, too. It's usually, we have about maybe 26 people on the staff, and not everybody writes for every newspaper. They take breaks. Like, they write for one, they write like a good piece for one, and then they don't do something for the next one. And so that's how we do that.
Do you just print their writing on the on the newspaper?
Oh, well, yeah. They give to me on Word, on Microsoft Word, and I usually have to edit it because there's usually mistakes and stuff. So I edit that, and then I just put it in, and then I just copy and paste it onto publisher. But then my mom has to overlook it too, so there's no mistake. Any make sure there's no mistakes that I missed.
Okay.
Those are great questions, Cole, and it's a great thing that you're doing. I have one more question. Mm-hmm. a lot of people think that kids only want to read things online, but you're finding that people do like having a hard copy that they can read?
I just think they, I'm glad, because it's not just like the older kids that buy it. It's just they love, it's third, I see second graders coming and third graders, and it's just, and fourth graders and fifth graders and sixth and seventh and eighth graders, they just all come and buy it. And it's just, it's good to know that everybody wants to just read it.
That's just absolutely terrific. Thanks for sharing that, Marguerite.
Thank you.
And anybody else with anything to add? I want to thank you all. And Christine, thank you for bringing these kids here today. How can people learn more about the Young Writers Institute?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked that, Larry. This is the first time we've ever tried what I call a winterum. But as you can hear, the students are from all over the place. So you can call the University of Pittsburgh, the Western Pennsylvania Writing Project. They're actually at 624-6557. Parents, if you have a phone pad at hand, you can jot that down. But if you just call the University of Pittsburgh and ask for the Writing Project or the Western Pennsylvania Writing Project, they have a website. And when you go onto that, it's westernpawritingproject.org. And then you just click on Young Writers, and you can find out usually the month of July is when Young Writers meet because kids are out of school. But this year we decided to try a winterum. And it's been a huge success. We're partnering with the Pittsburgh Cultural Trust, and they've provided us with an artist in residence. So at the end of our parent show, we will not only have readings, as we did today, thank you, Larry, but we'll have art displayed. We'll have some vocal pieces. Our artists in residence are helping us make a big production this year.
Well, I want to invite each of you, if you ever would like to read something else that you wrote, our doors are always open to do that. You can just email us and we'll schedule a time. We have young writers every week or musicians every week around this time. And I'd really love to have you do it on the radio. Thank you to Cole and Marguerite and also Anne and Tyler for being with us today. You're listening to the show that gets your weekend off to a good start, the Saturday Light Brigade. Saturday mornings at 88.3 WRCT Pittsburgh, 90.1 WIUPFM Indiana, 90.7 WMCO New Concord, Ohio, 91.1 WSAJ Grove City, 91.7 WCUC Clarion, 91.7 WNJR Washington, PCTV 21 on Comcast Cable in Pittsburgh, and live and on the band at slbradio.org. We're going to take a little break, and we're going to get The Weathered Road ready to perform live in our studio next hour. 6 after 11. I'll try to make sure the trains run on time from here on out. Thanks for being tuned in to the Saturday Light Brigade.